And I'd like to announce me, Alan Smith, for we publish the Result of Day Express and Journal on Wednesday, April 3rd. So, front page of paper today is a scandal, in inverted commas, of SNP waste £37 million to nay dual the road. So, this is the Scottish Government risks wasting £37 million in taxpayers' cash. Because it's a good job about taxpayers, there's a never-ending supply of cash, isn't it? But Disney fully duel the A96 political rival said last night. A freedom of information request shows the huge sum has already been spent on initial work on stretches of the road between Aberdeen and Inverness. A £5 million review into the project ordered after the SNP and Greens formed a power sharing deal in 2021 has been dogged by delays. North East Tory MSP Douglas Lumsden said it would be a public scandal if more than £37 million of taxpayers' money was thrown down the drain. Well, I agree with him. You might be surprised. Or maybe not surprised. I'm agreeing with a Tory. But if that's the case, then it's just diabolical. Anyway, his Highlands and Islands colleague, Tim Eagle, said the constant neglect of the A96 is risking the safety of motorists. And you know, nae just hard, but it's taken me longer to get to Huntly than, you know, going up to Huntly Market with Snochray Jock. So even if they just get going with the Huntly stretch for a start, you know, that would make an odds. But, God almighty, it's just dragging and dragging and dragging on. You can just see it's never ever going to get done. And, you know, this folk gets millions of pounds for doing surveys and reviews and all like that. That is money for all rope, if you ask me. But well, if I'm right to say, I'm just a pure old taxpayer. Now, here is a Hames plan for all office sites. So, Calla Homes is working on a £5.5 million plan to big dozens of new houses on the demolished Silverburn House site at the Brigadon. The developer has lodged a building warrant with Aberdeen City Council outlining the cost of a potential 55-home site. It comes with 5 years after the former Baker Hughes base at the Claymore Drive site across from the Al AECC was controversially demolished. After the Island Gas firm relocated to Dice, it was torn down by the new owners to avoid paying business rates on the building with little commercial future. Parklands View then submitted plans for a major development comprising 119 houses and flats and potentially shops, offices and food and drink venues on the site. Those plans were approved in 2022, but the residents have become half impatient about the lack of progress since then. Just weeks ago, they told us of the concerns it had become a dumping ground. The planning permission is due to expire in 2025, and I think some of the neighbours think a housing plan might never come to pass. A spokesperson for Calla said that we've created communities in Brigadon for many years, and we often explore other opportunities in the area. Silverburn House is one of a number of sites that we are currently considering, and the plan is believed to consist of a mix of semi-detached and terraced housing, along with associated infrastructure. So, well, I hope we get something in here soon, because funnily enough, I was doing that while the other day, dropping off some Snochray Jocks goodies to some of my old firm. It was needing them for a hamper, or hampers to the folk, and God, what I read up at this, a lot of the buildings are just sitting empty, and there are kind of just broken windows, and it's in half a state of affairs. So I think a bulldozer would be the best thing, and get something up if there's, again, folks screaming out for houses. And, you know, I suppose the Brigadon's better than anyway. Now, here's a tycoon's team defends dream mansion plan. So a millionaire has stepped up his plans to build a dream mansion at Queen Camilla's favourite spot in Royal Deeside, with experts dismissing local objections. Alistair Storey wants to launch a new tourism-boosting enterprise at the Abergeldy Estate. The chairman of catering firm Westbury Street Holdings has formed plans to revitalise the 11,500-acre expanse by turning it into a visitor hotspot, offering self-catering units and experiential holiday packages. Whatever that is. Purchasing the land, if it's between Balmoral and Birkhall, for £23 million made Storey the closest thing to a next-door neighbour of the royal family. he maintains that in order to start a business there, he needs to bide on site. But Mr. Story's plans for a mansion at Bovagley, with a farmhouse beside it, converted into a home for visiting friends and family. So even though he's a house the size of Buckingham Palace nearly, he doesn't want neighbours or family biding with him. A sensible lad. But anyway, it says, one retired local architect said it would blight the landscape, and others claimed it would spoil Queen Camilla's favourite view of Loch na Garr. Estate agent Savills have written to Aberdeenshire Council on Mr. Story's behalf to address comments made by the objectors, and they remind planners that taste in architectural design is subjective. Savills planning consultant Hannah Belford dismissed concerns about the size and style of the proposed home at the exceptionally wild location. She wrote, "It is recognised that Deeside has an abundance of very large estate houses. It is not by comparison a large property relative to the size of the estate it is to serve." According to Mr. Story's own team, the rest of his regeneration plans could be left in tatters should he not have somewhere suitable to bide. So, well, here we go. There's a lot of do's and pros and cons for it, but you know, I think it's a lad like this. Win something, he can normally get it, even though he's going to spoil the Queen's view of Loch na Garr. But he'd maybe better watch himself, because he'll maybe be some MI5 lads. Well, he'd better just watch what he drinks, I would think, and he'd drive himself anyway. Now here's an ex-Don's coach on the mental toll of his diagnosis. So this is a former coach for the Aberdeen Wifey's Fitba team, is opening up about his struggles with bowel cancer. Kenny Strachan was diagnosed at Aberdeen Royal Infirmary in August 2020. He was given the all clear in February this year. Jeepers, that's a fair while. He said, "It was one of the most difficult periods of my life. I was struggling mentally following my surgeries and felt a sense of hopelessness at not being able to continue with Fitba and not being fit to work." The 62-year-old was referred to Clan Cancer Support, and the charity's exercise class boosted his health physically and mentally. He said, "The charity offered me the opportunity to speak about my feelings, my worries and thoughts that I didn't feel comfortable sharing with folk fan caring me." Well, that's very true. Sometimes you don't want to speak to your family with that kind of things, but this has been invaluable to me. Kenny will share his story at Clan's Bowel Cancer Awareness event at Clan House on April 27th. He was diagnosed shortly after a routine test for the disease, which Scots aged 50 to 74 are advised to do every 2 years. But the former under-17 national team coach admitted he missed one test and added, "By the time I was diagnosed, the bowel cancer was more advanced. I was extremely lucky, so my message at this month's event is simple. Take the test and you could save your life." So, well, that's very, very true words. And you can have things, they've come in like clockwork every 2 years, and you know, you just have to send them a little bit of poo, and they test it for you and come back and get it all clearer. Get in for more tests if you're not so lucky. But, you know, a very, very good thing. And, you know, as Abdi says, the earlier they get these things, the better chance you have. So, good on him. At least he's on the all clear now. And, you know, just shows you how missing one even can make such a difference. I mean, he was lucky he was go to the next time around. But yeah, if you're involved in this, then I must submit tests. That would be my message, and you know, I'd say life-saving, really. Now here's a plea after two otters are killed. This is a wildlife ranger on the Isle of Tiree has shared heartbreaking photos after the death of two otters in 72 hours on the island. A posted on the Isle of Tiree Facebook page, Hayley Douglas said she was devastated after two of the mammals appeared to have been hit and run over by cars. She told the P&J the incident was likely to be an accident rather than foul play, but asked folk to take care when driving on the Tiree roads. She said the death of the otters came after a warning had been issued to motorists about running over lambs on the road. Of a careless bugger up about Tiree. A dog otter was killed overnight and discovered just about 7 o'clock yesterday morning at Bale Fetrish. He was 44 inches long and weighed 1.5 stone. Well, Junqueo Beast. A female otter was discovered over the weekend. She was 38 inches long and weighed 16 pounds. The otters appeared to be father and daughter. Oh, mighty me. Haley said the lambs have been lying on the tarmac in the road as it is warm there and we have common grazing. So I posted a note the other day asking folks to be careful because lambs are important to the island. But only a day later, Haley had to talk to social media again, pleading with drivers to be cautious if they're having to pick up a second otter. She said, this has absolutely scunnered me. Two otters hit by cars in the same spot of the road within 72 hours. One is a young female and the other is a dog, possibly the female's dad. Nathan, I was wanted to find on the early morning lambing checks. She added, traffic has increased during the holidays and it would be great if folk kept their inn open for lambs, otters, fox, cats, other wildlife and livestock while travelling around Tyree. She continued, otters run very low to the ground, so I understand how this might happen. Folk are looking for bigger animals like lambs and calves that are higher up. We have had otters killed on the island afore, but its generally visibility is poor, so it is just as upsetting if lambs are killed. So this is a timely reminder to take care of all wildlife. So, well, jeepers, creepers, that is a bit of a disaster with the two of them in such a short space of time. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't think about such a lot of cars in Tyree. And maybe still have folk walking in front and waving a red flag or something, but maybe not. But anyway, you know, drivers up here just ought to be more careful. No, just finish up with sport as normal. In the back page paper today is Shinney blocks out the noise in manager hunt. So this is skipper Graham Shinney has urged Aberdeen players to block out the club's hunt for a new manager. But Audrey's hierarchy are in ongoing talks in their bid to find a permanent replacement for Barry Robson, who was sacked in January and here we are in April. Don's chief executive Alan Burrows recently said the club are entering the very final stages of the search for a new manager. When they're appointed, the new manager will be the fourth boss in the Don's dugout this year. That's just awful, isn't it? But, you know, surely we have to go somebody unless, you know, the boys come in for the Outer Mongolia manager or something. But what a time they're talking, it's just unbelievable. So, you know, the players will just have to knuckle down and play for fivers and the boss at the time, and if that's you know, the current boy Peter Levin, then they'll just say these with the best economy and go. They've done all right with him so far, so another couple of wins will be just dandy. So fingers crossed to get a new manager surely in time for next season, surely to God. And in the meantime, come on Aberdeen. No, that's me done for today. Now, just a wee public series of today's Pressing Journal on a Wednesday, 3rd April 2024. And another hell of a day, just raining nearly from start to finish. And unfortunately, well, fortunately, you know, I was back at my home town at Turf Inns today to Farmers Market. We snuck in the jocks, but it was a guy slow the day, very. Well, a lot of folk going about, you couldn't really blame him because it was just piddling a rainy hill flipping day. And there's obviously some folk who are in holidays with Easter holidays. They have more sense to hang about here and maybe I want to warmer climbs. But raining for the morning, for when I got up. And I mean, hillocks of rain last night through the night, so he had it battering against the window. And it rained on and off all day today, really. And then the same again at night, it just got off with the back 8 o'clock, it was fair for him and tea, so, sort of water for a week or two, I wouldn't think. But anyway, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please mind and tell a pal about it. We could be dealing with more folk listening regularly to the Doric Express. And, you know, tell them to follow us on Spotify. That would be the best way to do it. They'll never miss an episode. And if they're ever incapacitated for any reason, they will have weeks and weeks of episodes to listen to. In the meantime, thanks very much. Cheers now. Toodaloo.